A lot of people dream of a trip to the Boundary Waters. And you know what? I think careful planning is a key to having a successful trip. So now we talk with a local outfitter about what to bring and how to stay safe. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. And with us, Ginny Nelson is the owner and manager of Spirit of the Wilderness, BWCA Outfitters, an outdoor store located in Ely, Minnesota. As we talk with Ginny, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about planning a trip to the Boundary Waters? Have you visited? What's your favorite area? What questions do you have? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Ginny Nelson, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy talking to you guys.
So how'd you get involved in outfitting?
Well, this is a family business. Back in 1999, in September, just after the blowdown that your previous customer was talking about, we purchased an outfitting business here in Ely, Minnesota. But before that, we had been sending canoe trips out of our home down in the Twin Cities. So I had been packing food since I was in probably sixth or seventh grade for canoe trips either that I was on or not on. I think one summer there was at least six trips that went out of our household between us taking scout groups, family trips, youth groups. And so we thought, oh, this might be a great thing to get into. We enjoy the Boundary Waters. We have a passion for introducing people to the Boundary Waters. So I've been traveling the Boundary Waters. I did the math earlier today. I think it's been 32 years that I've been traveling the Boundary Waters. And then my parents are in somewhere in the 60-year range for traveling the Boundary Waters. So we just really have a passion for introducing people to this area and to getting people outside, just into nature. And it's just been a really fun thing to have as part of our lives.
Well, yeah, it's got to be. You get to work with a lot of different people. And for the most part, I imagine everybody's in a pretty good mood. And, you know, they're excited. And it's kind of fun to work with people who are excited in a good mood all the time.
Sure. I tell my staff all the time, especially the new ones, I say, we have the best customers of anybody. People are on vacation. They're excited for their trip. If they come back, they're excited to tell us about their trip. So if they come back and they're grumpy, usually we can fix it by a nice shower or a cold beverage. Or I've only had, in 25 years, I've had one person come in and throw their paddle down and say, "You call this a vacation?" And then we shoveled them into the shower and gave him a cold water or something after. And then he said, "Okay, well, it wasn't that bad. I just wasn't expecting that." You know, I think he was expecting to just sit on the beach. So there's a little bit of work to come to the Boundary Waters, but it sure is rewarding.
Westy in Menominee has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Westy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I was just curious on what's the best way to access permits to certain points of interest and certain ways to get those. Is it easiest to go to an upfitter? Is it easiest to go through a certain online option?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great, great question. So for a little bit of reference, everybody that travels the Boundary Waters needs a permit. One permit is good for up to 9 people and 4 watercraft. There are different types of permits. There's overnight paddle permits. There's overnight hiking permits. So if you like to hike, you can do that on some trails. There's some overnight motor permits, day use motor permits, and then day use paddle permits. And the day use, you can just fill those out when you get here. But to get a permit for the Boundary Waters, all the outfitters and the general public pull the permits from the same group of permits. So no outfitter has any more permits than the general public can go after. We all book permits from recreation.gov, which is the website. And if you've ever booked a national park campground or different things like that, it's all the same website, just to focus on the Boundary Waters. And there's only so many permits per day per entry point. So some entry points have maybe one or two permits a day. Some have up to maybe 15 or permits a day. So it really depends on how big the area is. The last Wednesday in January is the first day to book permits for that year. So January 31st this year was the first day we could book permits going into the Boundary Waters for the 2024 season. So a lot of permits have been taken already. People, I think right now, there's a little bit of a weird thing going on where people see a permit and they book it even if they're not sure they need it. So if you are one of those people that has multiple permits and you're not sure you need them all, maybe it'll be a good idea to cancel and just use the ones and decide actually when you want to go. But there are still permits available for the summer. The beauty of using an outfitter like ourselves at Spirit of the Wilderness here is that we know the entry points really, really well. So we can tell you, okay, if you want to go to Angleworm, that's fantastic. It's a really neat area, but it's going to be a 2-mile portage to start your trip. Or we can say, oh yeah, Fall Lake is only 15 minutes down the road and it starts right on the water's edge and a couple easy portages to get up into Basswood. So we just know the different areas. So working with an outfitter, you can book a permit that would actually fit what kind of trip you want to take.
Yeah, that's good advice. Westy, thank you. Helen in West Salem, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Helen.
I just wondered if you'd heard of the book Roughing It Elegantly. I don't know the author or if it's even still published. But back in the 90s when we were new at going to the Boundary Waters, we had that book. It was absolutely wonderful because it told you just what to pack, what food you needed. It had recipes. It had everything you needed. And so I was just curious to know if that's still out there or if there's something similar.
I'm not sure if that book is out there or not. There's a good possibility it is. There are definitely lots of books out there that you can look at for different routes and packing options and different things like that. There's a lot of people that use the Robert Bamer books. There's an East and West version of the Boundary Waters, and that has a lot of different routes. And then there's definitely multiple things out there to help you. And keep in mind, there's a lot of online resources these days. That's fantastic. But remember, online, there's a lot of people that love the Boundary Waters and they document it online. But just take everything with a grain of salt because it's not always accurately depicting routes and things like that. In fact, the book I first mentioned, there's a route that they talk about in there that is no longer maintained by the Forest Service, but people come each year looking to take this route. I see online a lot of times people want to take the route from Moose Camp Lake down to Four Town Lake, and they're assured online that this can happen. It's not a problem. And I'm going to tell you, as an outfitter in this area, I would not take that route. So, there's lots of resources out there. So Paddle Planner is a great website that you can look at. Your local outfitter, always check with us and make sure the route you're thinking actually is a viable one.
Yeah. And I went on your website and looked at your site, and you've got tons of information there. And you have your own, and we'll talk about this later. You have your own, you can supply everything a person needs.
Oh, for sure.
And you list it all right there.
Yeah, well, we definitely do complete outfitting. We do partial outfitting, so we can set people up with absolutely everything they need, including food, gear, camping gear, all that fun stuff. The only thing you have to bring is clothing, and we'll give you a packing list for that. If you have some of your own gear, hey, fantastic. Then we'll fill in the gaps for the parts you need. One of the things that we do for a lot of people that haven't been to the Boundary Waters, actually, I've got a group that comes every year and they do this package every single year. And that's the canoe and food pack combo. Not just one group, multiple groups do that. Because the packing the food is the thing that takes the longest, I think. You have to figure out the portions, make sure you don't have any cans or glass bottles. And it saves time for them if they just come up and grab their food. And we provide all the camp cooking gear to go with it and stoves, all that fun stuff. And then the canoes, people bring their own personal sleeping camping gear. So we do it all sorts of different ways. Or you can use our website as a cheat sheet for what you can rent versus what you have. And, oh, hey, I got a bunch of that stuff. I just need the canoe. Great.
Yeah. Warren in Reidsville, your turn. Hi, Warren.
Hi, good morning. So I was just wondering, can you still go from the Boundary Waters into the Quetico?
Yes, you can. And lovely, it has a back open after COVID. So this last summer was fantastic. We had more people going to the Quetico than we have since before the pandemic. So yes, now going to the Quetico, there's a few hoops to jump through. You do need a remote area border crossing. You need a valid passport. So there's some paperwork things that have to happen, but yes, you for sure can go. And usually you have to go through a ranger station. So it kind of funnels you all through, like in the Ely area, it funnels you through Prairie Portage. So you have to hit up that Prairie Portage between the Moose Lake chain and Basswood. And then from there, you can take your you have to take a good faith effort to go towards your entry point in the Quetico. But yes, it's definitely open again, which is super fantastic.
Jeannie Nelson, our guest, and she'll be with us right up till 12:30 today. She's the owner and manager of Spirit of the Wilderness, BWCA Outfitters and Outdoor Store in Ely, Minnesota. We'll take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we will be back with Jenny, and you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. We're talking about preparing for a trip to the Boundary Waters on the show today. Larry Mueller here. You're listening to the Ideas Network, of course. Our guest, Jenny Nelson. Jenny is owner and manager of Spirit of the Wilderness, BWCA Outfitters and Outdoor Store in Ely, Minnesota. So as we talk with Jenny, I hope you'll join in. What questions you have about planning a trip? Maybe you visited already. Comment on that. What'd you learn about the area? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jenny, as a kind of a follow-up to that last question concerning the Quetico, Ed in Northern Illinois called just wondering if there are you're going to run into problems into Quetico now because of border security or not?
I don't know. I mean, as far as last summer goes, as long as you had your remote area border crossing, which clears you through Canadian customs ahead of time, you have to send your paperwork in to the Canadian customs. And then once you're back, you stop in a place like mine at Spirit of the Wilderness that has a check-in station for the customs, because now we don't have a customs station in Ely. If you're doing stuff like that, then it should be okay. I don't know if there's any other changes going. Border patrol people stationed in Ely. We do have customs agents in the Ely area. We have a lot of law enforcement, actually. We have the sheriff and the city police, and we have the Forest Service, law enforcement. We got it all. So, but I think that you probably wouldn't have much issue as long as you have the right documentation, the right permits.
You have package deals, that, and we talked a little bit about food. I was interested when I noticed on the food packages that you give people ahead of time a chance to kind of pick the kind of food they want.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we send out a menu for everybody to pick what they'd like for meals. So it's served family style, basically. So if there's four of you, all four are going to eat the same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, but if there's any dietary needs, we for sure try to match or meet those. We send out some fresh food the first couple days, so you don't have to just eat dehydrated stuff. And we try to work in some stuff so it's not all just that packaged, foiled packaged stuff. We use a lot of the Cache Lake Foods, which is got some great fry bread, so people can have a little bit of fresh bread of sorts for dinner. So it's you won't go hungry, that's for sure.
Jeff in Superior, we'll give you a chance. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, what a great topic. It's the weather is fantastic up here, and it makes me think of being outside camping and whatnot. But I got to tell you, I'm kind of a – I like the luxury. In other words, you know, Calvin Coolidge came up to the Brule River and he had things catered to him. Of course, he was president of the United States. But I'd like to go to a lodge where they cook my meals and I can read a book and sit in the sun and I don't have to, you know, chop wood and carry water. Is that opportunity offered in the Boundary Waters?
Oh, well, yeah, there's a, I always tell people that come back to Ely multiple times that you can explore and enjoy the Ely area and the Gunflint in different areas in multiple ways. Going to the Boundary Waters is definitely one option. We don't have cabins ourselves, but there's definitely a number of resorts in the area. There's a number of motels and different things like that. So staying in a local resort or motel and going on day trips into the Boundary Waters is a fantastic way, or doing some day hikes. There's some really fun little day hikes around the Ely area. And then there's also a lot of fun stuff to do in Ely to fill up your days. There's a few festivals in town. There's a Bear Center and Wolf Center. If you like to golf, there's some really neat golf courses around the area. So you could like definitely make this whatever kind of trip you'd like. We have got lots of lakes that are in the Boundary Waters you can fish for the day, but we also have a lot of lakes that you can fish outside the Boundary Waters with a motorboat if that's your style. I definitely have people that think they're too old to be in a canoe, which I don't always agree with. But fishing's a huge part about being in this area too. So you, there's lots of ways to enjoy this area.
I saw also on your website that golfing and also weddings was mentioned at the bottom of the page.
We are a jack of all trades for sure. So we are a canoe outfitter, but we're also a retail store. So we sell like clothing and camping gear, footwear. We're a live bait and tackle shop. We do transportation for Boundary Waters trips. And sometimes we use our vans to get people to and from the airport. Or we have done used our big vans to help transport people for wedding parties and different things like that. So when you live in northern Minnesota, sometimes you wear a few different hats.
Daniel in Eau Claire, we'll go to you now. Thanks for calling, Daniel.
Hi, good morning. I have had a lot of fun in the Boundary Waters over the years in all seasons, summer and winter. And what I remember in listening to your program today is some of the wildlife contacts I've had. And I at one point was canoeing on a portage and encountered some beavers, and they were coming right up to the canoe and flapping their tails, and I thought, this is wonderful, this is really a close encounter with wildlife. And I got home to Pierce County near River Falls, and the beavers on my property had cut down 15 trees while I was in the Boundary Waters destroying a beaver.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, wildlife experiences are fantastic. I know for you have had, Jenny, many experiences. Maybe you can relate one or two.
Oh, sure. I've got a couple of good ones. One, when we first bought the business, we try to keep our doors open every summer, all summer long, because if we can't be outside, we want to be as close to outside as we can. So we have a front door and a side door for our retail area. And a little bear cub came in one door, walked through the store, and walked out the other door. Well, luckily, Mama Bear was not nearby. But that was definitely a northern Minnesota experience, I would think. Doesn't happen often. I've never seen it again. I was out guiding a group along one time, and we got to see a moose swimming across the lake. And then as it got to a little island, it crashed through the little island up and over and then kept walking past that. That was out on the Lake One area. That was really fun to see. Of course, we kept our distance for sure. There's a lot of bald eagles around. It's really fun to see all the different loons and things like that that are around as well. We are pretty blessed with the number of wildlife things that we get to see.
You mentioned you were guiding people. What extent can you have a guiding experience? Is there for example, if I wanted to, I was afraid to go and, you know, on a portage and look at the maps and, you know, are there people who actually will guide groups on maybe a 2 or 3 day trip?
Oh, yes, definitely. Guides are a big part of this area for sure. In fact, my husband's a fishing guide. He typically takes people out fishing just for the day, him and his group that he's got a number of guides that work with him. But then you could take a day trip guide. You could take a guide for multiple days, and they can do as much or as little as you would like them to. So if you're nervous about navigating in the Boundary Waters and paddling and reading maps, they for sure can help with that part of the puzzle. If you've never been camping before, that might be a good thing to, you know, bring a guide along, and they can help with, you know, how to do this wilderness camping. And then I've got people that, you know, they've gone with guides multiple times, and they just don't want to be the group leader or be concerned about the details and the guides just along, but they still do a lot of the stuff. So it really just depends on what you need. And the guides are really pretty flexible, and they're really knowledgeable. We work with a lot of different guides. And the key with, if you do want a guide, is definitely to book early, because they only have so many days in their summer and they do book up.
Yeah, I would think so. What are there some common mistakes that people make when they visit for the first time?
I would say probably packing too much stuff would be a mistake that people make. I can tell you every time I go over a portage, I repack in my head what's in the pack I'm carrying, and seeing, like, I probably could have left home an extra pair of socks, or I probably didn't need, I don't know, something like that. But typically people think they need more stuff than they really need. If you really think about it, the stuff you need for like an overnight or 3 day trip is probably about the same amount of stuff as what you'd need for a 7 day trip. The only difference would be how much food you bring. So I would say if it's your first time, I would lay out all your stuff and talk to an outfitter. Outfitters are going to make sure you're not overpacked. But then take out some of the stuff. So do you really need a new t-shirt for every single day of the trip? You know what my little secret is I usually take two shirts, and one I wear most of the time, the other one I put on the last day, so I look really nice and clean when I'm exiting. So that when I see people on the portage, they're just amazed, how'd you stay so clean? I wear the same pair of pants or shorts the whole time. I use rain gear pants and jacket for layers, so I maybe don't always have to have as many things with me.
All good tips. What about experience in terms of paddling, camping, and maybe preparing physically for a trip to the Boundary Waters?
Yeah, there's preparing. It's a little bit of work. It's more than just sitting on the beach and soaking up the sun. You are definitely going to be carrying some stuff. There's very few routes where you can get away from no portaging. So you're going to portage or carry your canoe and gear through the woods, you know, pretty much every route. You can minimize it depending on the routes. But you would probably want to make sure that you spend some time walking or even hiking around your local area. Maybe you are going to start carrying a little bit of a pack to kind of get used to having a pack on your back. If you have access to a canoe back home, it might not be a bad idea to practice paddling a little bit. Or if you don't have, you know, canoes and things, maybe just doing a little bit of weightlifting, light weights or something, just to get your muscles in gear. They're getting a little bit prepared that way is definitely a good thing. It'll vary from person to person as to how much you need to prepare your body.
Sure.
But one thing to prepare is your mind, and make sure you're a bit flexible, because the well-laid plan sometimes needs some flexibility in it.
And you're not carrying the whole thing, everything with you. Sometimes you might have to take the canoe first and then go back and get the equipment or whatever.
Right. Well, there's people, different ways to portage or carry your stuff. Some people like to put a pack on and take a canoe and go over as much, few times as possible. I kind of like the walk back, where I take one thing over and come back. It's my time in the woods, kind of by myself usually, and I get to enjoy the things I was looking at not tripping on the way over. But yeah, you're not carrying stuff like a hiking trip where you're or a backpacking trip where you have all your gear on your back the whole time. It's really just for the portages. And again, you can minimize how many portages or how long you go depending on the group and the, you know, how everybody's feeling.
And I'm wondering about first aid. What kind of first aid equipment would you consider to be essential?
I would definitely bring your standard basic, you know, first aid kit that has, you know, ibuprofen or Tylenol, and Benadryl is always a good thing. Having, you know, those basic medications, maybe it's Pepto-Bismol or, you know, some stuff like that. Band-Aids for sure in case you get blisters. And then, you know, the gauze and different things like that. So you can get a pretty good basic kit that's going to cover a bunch of that stuff. I don't know what you think, but I think life jackets are definitely a first aid thing. I think people should wear life jackets all the time when you're in a canoe, even if you're a fantastic swimmer. And then after that, I think it depends on what your training is, because some people really come with a huge first aid kit because they're EMTs and that's just how their brain and life works. And I think a couple other safety things is I always wear footwear around the campsite. I always wear footwear when I'm swimming. I always want to protect my feet to make sure I don't get a cut or hurt my foot, because that makes an awful tough time to get out with portaging. You know, watching the wind and different things like that is always good for safety. I always have some sort of knife with me. So some sort of pocket knife. You never know where that'll come in handy, whether you're eating stuff or you need to, however you need to use it. So there's definitely some things like that that's a good idea to bring along.
Bill in Oregon remembers back in the 80s and 90s, he went to Knife Lake, stopped to get a root beer and candy bars from Ruth and Dorothy on another trip at the end of Beyond, where he encountered Pete and his berry pies. Yet, and he knows these folks are long gone and their islands have become part of the park. Are there any remaining homesteads in the Boundary Waters?
There is on Basswood a little bit. There's a cabin left. There are some Forest Service cabins that are in the Boundary Waters that the rangers use here and there. And then the cabins from the Dorothy Moults or Isle of the Pines, those are actually just a block down from Spirit of the Wilderness here in Ely. They brought all those cabins out so you can actually tour them. And see some of that. But no, there's not any homesteads or people living that we know of. Just kidding.
You are. Well, it's a big area. That's for sure. You're going to be, and before we get too far along here, you're going to be at Canucopia in Wisconsin, in Madison, actually. Coming up, tell us about what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic paddle sport show. Canucopia is in Madison, Wisconsin, March 8th through the 10th. We have a booth there and we're selling trips and talking about routes and different things like that. My parents, Steve and Kathy Nelson, and myself will be giving some seminars about the Boundary Waters. So we're talking about planning and tips for a successful trip. My mom's Kathy is doing a seminar called Top Tips for Traveling the Boundary Waters as a Senior. And my dad's doing one about catching your next fish in the Boundary Waters. So we've got lots of time to talk to people face-to-face, and which is always fun. People are always excited to talk about the Boundary Waters, and we're happy to get people set up on trips at that time. So that's going to be a really fun show. I think it's at the Alliant Energy Center right down there in Madison, which is a really – and I always call that my first spring. Because I get spring there, and then I come back to Ely, and I get spring a couple weeks later up here in Ely.
And so you know Darren Bush pretty well. Darren comes on the show. Typically, we'll talk about Canucopia, but he'll talk about snowshoes and canoes and kayaks. So it's always fun to have him on, and it's good to know that you'll be here so people can see you in person.
Yes.
March 8th through the 10th.
Yeah, Canucopia is a fantastic thing. They've got so many fun seminars to go to. People go to that show 3 days in a row. I've never seen another sports show where people attend it so many days in a row. It's fantastic. It's so much information there. It's a great place and a great resource.
So someone else is wondering, what's the best defense against mosquitoes and bugs?
Oh, well, so mosquitoes, I think it depends on who you are, because I myself don't wear a lot of bug spray because I just don't really like it, but I don't typically, I'm not the one that gets eaten by mosquitoes. My daughter, unfortunately, is the person that gets eaten by mosquitoes, so she has a different opinion. We definitely sell a bunch of head nets because that's pretty much the thing that if you wear a hat and then you throw a mesh head net over, that definitely can help with the mosquitoes. And then as you're paddling, there's probably not as many mosquitoes, but once you're at the campsite, sometimes picking the right campsite is good. Looking on the map and seeing, is it a low-lying wet area? That might be more mosquitoes. Are you out on a point where there's a little bit of breeze coming through? Something else that we use a lot of, or have a lot of people take, is the thermocell. These little units that have a little butane and a little pad in there, and it emits a smell that kind of helps get rid of the mosquitoes in a certain area. That's pretty nice. And obviously bug spray is a big thing too.
Or get your daughter to go along with you when you go.
You just have to make sure you have one person that the bugs really love.
So people, I'm wondering just how do people find out some more? Go to your website, but talk about your website.
Yeah, so we have a wonderful website, and we're happy to talk by phone and email, so people can reach us at elycanoetrips.com. They can call us at 218-365-3149 and give us a call, and we'd love to chat about your trip. We're on Facebook and Instagram, but it's easier if you email us, info@elycanoetrips.com. We are happy to answer all sorts of questions and help plan trips. We just, this is what we love to do. So this is, we're happy to work with people for however long it takes them to get the right details in place.
Jeannie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I look forward, hopefully we'll meet in person at Canoecopia. Love to.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you.
Jeannie Nelson, owner and manager of Spirit of the Wilderness, and we have a link on our page, I believe, today, the ideas at WPR.org/Larry. You go to the page, a link to Spirit of the Wilderness Outfitters and Outdoor Store in Ely, Minnesota. Great to have her with us. It was a lot of fun talking about the Boundary Waters. It's a great place to visit. I've been there and I loved it. We have lots of things coming up. Oh, our book club is next week. I just wanted to mention that. Thursday, February 29th from 11 to noon, our next virtual book club meeting. We'll talk with Wisconsin author Sarah Alvarado about her memoir. It's titled Dreaming in Spanish: An Unexpected Love Story in Puerto Vallarta. Inspiring story about the complexities of a multicultural marriage and motherhood in a foreign country. That's February 29th. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.